I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
How you day? It's another day to be great. Happy Labor Day to my American friends. And for the rest of the world, happy amazing day. I'm wishing you all a great day. Today's episode is with Hannah Hermanson, and we are in for a treat. Her whole brand is about how to build your dream life. Your dream life can be real. And we dive into the importance of several things, like self-discovery, understanding the power of monetizing your passions, and how to build your personal brand. So if you've ever come across that crossroads where you're wondering you could do more, or if you feel like there's much more than this provincial life, as Belle would say in Beauty and the Beast, this is the episode for you. Check it out, and also make sure you check out our website. Love you all, and enjoy the episode.
In a world where very few people embrace their global identity and seek to understand their neighbors, cross-cultural expert Tayo Roxon is on a mission to bridge this divide. Each week, he'll open your mind with insights from some of the global minds in the world. Get ready, take some notes, and learn how to be the best you that you can be.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of As Told by Nomads. And today's episode is with Hannah Hermanson. And she is a magnificent person who helps passionate individuals pursue their dreams and careers as entrepreneurs. She also helps them achieve the freedom and flexibility to travel. She started a business after quitting a job as an academic counselor in Wisconsin, the Cheese State. And she went on to work for a startup in San Francisco, only to discover that once she got there, they no longer had a job for her. It was do or die. And she has certainly done a lot of things since then. So let's talk about her, you know, transition from going into a startup that she expected to provide all the things that she wanted, to find herself in a position where she needed to really make an opportunity for herself. That's what the podcast is going to be about for a majority of the time. Welcome to the show, Anna.
Yes, thank you, Tayo.
Pleasure is mine. And, you know, your story was, you know, highlighted there briefly in the intro. But before that, you know, I would like you to take me back to pre-academic counselor and then to counselor, and then what you went through going through that transitionary period in your life when you realized that, this isn't what I expected.
Right. Yeah. So I did grow up in a small town in the Cheese State of Wisconsin. And I can admit that I sort of felt like a black sheep, if you will, in that I saw, you know, people in, you know, growing up in my small town, staying in my small town, dying in my small town. And I wasn't convinced that my small town was my place. So I did try to fit in, and I did all of the quote-unquote right things growing up, but I was a pretty natural leader in that I was elected class president for 6 years. I gave our commencement speech at graduation, and I did end up going to the University of Wisconsin. yet, while I was there, it became increasingly clear that there was way more that I wanted to see and do in the big world. So as a college student, I traveled a lot. I had never left the 48 states until I was about 19 years old, and I took every opportunity I could to travel. So I ended up teaching English in places like the Dominican Republic, Kenya, Cambodia, Thailand, Nepal. And that was really when I started to see, okay, there are other ways to do this life thing. And so those experiences made me fall in love with college and the opportunity that was there. And I was a psychology major, so it was fitting right after college to stay in college. And I wasn't ready to commit to like grad school, which was kind of the natural progression in the psychology world. So I became an academic advisor, which was super exciting because I got to help young people set goals and decide what they wanted to be when they grow up and then go, you know, make a roadmap and an academic plan that they could follow and courses they could take. But I distinctly remember in that role, a student, his name was Josh, who was a little befuddled with me. He was unclear on what path he wanted to take. And I was doing my usual spiel, handing him a sheet of, you know, 50 majors he could choose from. And, well, what do you like to do? You know, okay, well, sociology would be good for you, as I found myself repeating about every half hour. and he just kind of set the paper aside and he was like, Hannah, what would you be doing if you could choose anything? And I had a fairly quick response, and I was like, well, I'd be helping people find their best self and figure out how to pursue that. And he was like, well, that's good for you, but are you doing that? And he kind of gave, we had a pretty, I would say loving relationship, tough love conversation there. And I quickly realized like, yeah, I'm not in alignment. I can't be telling these young people that these are your options in life when I'm pretty sure there has to be more once again. So I did lots of things again, just like my strategy in college to travel. I was like, all right, I'm going to become a yoga teacher and I'll start a network marketing business all within the comfort of still having my cubicle state job, you know, with the university. And then I stumbled into the startup, which was helping educators bring yoga and mindfulness into their classroom. It was something that felt really aligned, you know, bringing my background in education and my newfound passion for yoga. Great. And then, as you mentioned in the startup, they offered me a salary and they were going to move me out to San Francisco. Okay, out of the small town, out of Wisconsin. This is actually the dream job this time. So I went with it and I kind of quit everything in what felt like one day, packed 5 bags and moved out to San Francisco. And truly days after I landed in this whole new world, they, as you mentioned, said, oops, we don't have enough money for you. Never mind. You have to find something else to do. And I had lots of options, right? I could go back to where I was. I could beg them. I could sue them for my job back. But it just was a really, you know, opportune moment that I decided, well, if not now, when? For me to actually figure out like who I am outside of the small town, outside of these roles I put myself in, and yeah, figure it out. What is my dream life and how do I make it my real life? And so that has brought me to doing the coaching that I do, and more specifically business coaching, because I quickly found after that experience of being jobless in the most expensive city in the world, that income is very important. And really what it's about now is like helping people bring more abundance, more income, more free time, more choice, more freedom into their life by earning money online.
That's so interesting. You know, listening to your story there, I couldn't help but think about Belle, my favorite princess, my favorite Disney princess. But there's one line she says. She's always talking about how there's got to be more than this provincial life. That seems to be what you've always known and what you've always strived for, in terms of understanding that, you know, you're already a natural leader, but you knew that there was a box that you existed outside. You existed outside of the box that society has sort of put there for you, and you wanted to pursue that. The interesting thing, though, for me, after studying a lot of what you've done and I've listened to some of your interviews and seen some of your work, you believe that having the rug pulled out from under your feet is the best opportunity to start your business.
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Yeah. You know, I was 23, 24 when I decided to quit my job and jump into the startup. Yet I would love to be able to say that works, right? Just quitting everything and making a bold decision and being fearless. Yet it's not always an option for us to choose to make a big change. But I've seen with so many of my clients and in my own life that the universe hands you those opportunities. And instead of, you know, going back to a desk job or going back home, it was like, all right, I have no rug under my feet, and this is the perfect time to build a new one. And it is interesting, you know, okay, so that kind of happened to me, but it also, as I mentioned, happens to a lot of my clients, and that, okay, they get this taste of entrepreneurship, or they see this opportunity, and they're maybe, you know, watching free webinars or reading the Success Principles book, which I highly recommend, or they're just kind of tasting and playing with it. And then these things just seem to happen to the right people where they are, you know, encouraged to quit or, you know, like one of my clients, they pretty much said like, you could tell us you're leaving or we'll tell you you're leaving because of financial issues, or someone in their family comes down with an illness. And you have to be able to see the silver lining, and that when the rug is ripped out from under you or circumstance doesn't seem like what you had been hoping for or planning for, there are always silver linings, and it's the best time for you to take ownership and choose a different story for yourself.
Absolutely. I absolutely believe that. And you know, the listeners are always know, I always harp on the story. I've been fired twice. I've had all these interesting opportunities, but after each firing, there was always an opportunity for growth. And it depends on how you approach them. You know, failure doesn't happen to you, it happens for you. And it's, right. You know, if you, depends on how you react to it. And if you react to it, then it becomes like this thing that you can't move fast. And so,
right.
You were someone that eventually found a way to online business, online marketing, online everything. Basically starting a business online that allowed you to have the flexibility, enough flexibility that you can call me from Mexico on the day that Mexico loses to Brazil in the World Cup.
So. I literally watched the game on the beach. There is sand in my toes. I'm sitting in a hostel being able to connect. I've got client meetings later today. And that was really something that was important to me. It was that, again, I'm not going to go back into a box. That will always be there. A mentor very lovingly told me that when I was like, because I wasn't always for sure I'm going to be an online coach. You know, I considered going back to grad school. I considered getting a day job, you know, a desk job. I considered teaching more fitness and yoga classes. And my mentor said, those things will always be there. But like in this opportunity with no rug under your feet, like what is the dream life? And I always encourage other people to like let go of all of the hows, all of the shoulds, and just write down, if you could do and be anything, what would it be? And that's when I realized I would be on the beach. I would be talking to people wherever I was. And the how did present itself for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at that. Look at that. Now you're actually literally doing that right now. Okay. So then Let's stay on this online business part. There's a confusion that people have that if you don't have a big social media following, you don't have a successful online business. So how can you create a business that doesn't just rely on social media to grow?
Relationships, right? Like I understand the philosophy behind getting a great following. Okay, sure, you have like some social proof and there's some statistics that if, you know, millions of eyeballs see you, maybe a few will buy from you or work with you. And I prefer to build authentic personal relationships, because ultimately you do need people to, you know, become your customers or buy from you, but it's much easier when they know you and they like you and they trust you. And there's so much noise out there. I actually think it's a clever strategy to worry less about how many people are looking at you and more of like, how many people can you look at, right? And like shifting that from, look at me, I'm talking about myself, I'm posting, I'm on the beach, to like asking people, what is your dream? How can I help you with that? It's actually unique and pretty successful for me to ask those personal questions, as opposed to asking questions about how can I get more eyeballs randomly.
No, absolutely. And there's that saying, your network is your net worth. But more so, even in the digital age, the online business, the social media, a lot of times relationships are what matters. I mean, we were remarking earlier about how we met initially. It was, you know, a friend of mine, Amanda, and I, we had put together this Thought Leadership Academy, which we have a lot of students, we have some students on there, and we basically, you know, help them become thought leaders in their space. But you remember that group, you're also highly engaged. And so when when your publicist reached out to me, it was, I was like, oh, I know her. I follow her on social media as well, and yeah. it was easy to say easy to say yes, just because I already knew how authentically you showed up, and I think a lot of people underestimate the power of that. I mean, there was no indication that I would be interviewing you then, or you would be able to like be in Mexico or, you know, watch the World Cup doing that. There was no indication that it was just an authentic relationship that was there and you showed up being engaged. And so it's interesting how life and the universe works if you're just authentically showing up and just being who you are and just building relationships.
Yeah, it's the universe and it's scientific, right? The energy you put out into the world, into creating content, into building relationships, like it comes back to you. It's physics that will happen. And I think that there's a lot of hype out there about online businesses quickly earning a lot of money, how to earn money in your sleep, and, you know, all these things, when it really, those things are because of a buildup. And so I'm very weary of social media posts or Facebook ads that are, you know, promising earn $30,000 this month, when really we need to understand like the basic power of the universe and connecting. Remember, like, those aren't just dollar signs. That's an impact. That's people. That's a result of some sort. And so I think that's so important to come back to the basics of relationships and being a real person and offering some value and showing up, like you said. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, speaking of relationships, you have a lovely partner. I believe Max is his name. And yes. Both of you pursued digital nomadism together. And
well, kind of.
Okay. Well, you lead into my question.
So we actually met working for this startup I mentioned. So I was coming in as like the entrepreneur yogi who wanted to monetize this idea of, you know, helping educators use yoga and mindfulness. And he happened to be an educator who wanted his kids to be more mindful. So he was a seventh grade teacher and I was a yoga teacher.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Teacher, and we kind of came together on this startup project. And he was not at all interested in ever leaving the classroom until he had something that he felt he could make a bigger impact with. He's a great teacher. He shows up for students. He's like one of those teachers that's all in. And he works in an area of high need in San Francisco. And he just felt like, I couldn't leave these kids. Like, this is my thing. I've got to serve in this way. And so he did that for 2 years while I was building my business. He was teaching and we traveled just during the summertime. But this year he saw what's possible with the way, again, it's not just about earning money or having your laptop on the beach, but like, you know, the movement that I'm building, that's really about empowering people to bring that abundance, to share their talents and their passions more widely, as opposed to, you know, that's great when he's serving 30 students at a time, but like we're seeing a lot more possibility to bring education and our passions to more and more people. And so he's decided to not go back to the classroom, and we're working on developing curriculum that he can share in bigger ways, so that not just his classroom is getting the dream life fundamentals, which he implemented in his classroom. Now, how do we get hundreds of classrooms and more students to benefit from his passion and his expertise?
Yeah, and that's exactly where I was headed with the question is, that's a real thin, especially for our generation and younger, where people are wondering if they have partners that share the same dream, should they suppress a part of themselves, or should they, you know, how do they manage that? What if someone wants to stay stationary? What if someone, mm-hmm. you know, wants to do that? And it sounds like initially that was the case with you too, but there was a compromise in the sense you said you did that in the summers.
Right.
But, you know, I'm just thinking out there right now, maybe there's a couple listening to this episode and they're thinking, well, you don't want to do it, but I've always said I want to do it. So where we go right now? What would you say to that person? That couple, rather.
Yeah. So I definitely had in the back of my mind, like, okay, he was in San Francisco. So, okay, we can do this. Like, let's see how the business grows. Let's see what opportunities present themselves. And ultimately, the most powerful tool of, you know, I don't know if it was convincing or proving or inspiring, was to just kind of live it and show him, like, what's possible, again, in that, income wasn't so much a concern. Not that he was, you know, like the San Francisco or any teacher salary is fairly easy to replace, unfortunately, actually. But then just embodying it and like letting him see the people that were being impacted by my work and how he could play a role in it. And I don't really remember like a specific conversation where we were like, okay, this is how it would exactly work. But just kind of leaning into it. And again, going back to that dream life agenda or itinerary that I had written up, and just getting closer and closer to that, but not being attached. So I felt committed, but not attached, because I found in my, you know, other roles that when I was super driven, like this has got to be the dream job, or this has got to be the network marketing thing that works, I didn't feel very good. So letting your dreams be okay, like sharing them, writing down what your dream day would look like, and then embodying that as much as you can. I have a lot of friends that would never do this. Mm-hmm. And I've had other people that I've, you know, dated or whatever that would never do this. And I think there's a big piece of like finding your person and being able to share what those dreams are. Yeah, that is a tricky question because we're still navigating it ourselves.
No, but that's the thing.
I
think what you're saying is that it's based on your values, and the thing that I like about you and Mark is that both of you haven't compromised your values, right? So I don't, you know, it's always a tricky thing to bring relationships into this, but you have a mission, and a part of you is always known since you were young that, you know, there was much more that you were destined for, and you needed to exist outside of boxes, if you will, a society. The boxes society put into place. And so, listening to you and watching you on social media, it's very clear that if you are unapologetically yourself and you state that from the beginning, it will work out.
Yes. Well said, Kyle. Thank you. And I think, it comes back to what I was saying is especially with my family, I tried to convince people or show, like, tell them, like, this is what I'm doing. This is why it makes sense. This is why you should be on board. This is why you should support me. And that just, like, led to a lot of confusion. And I drifted apart from a lot of folks because they just weren't seeing the vision. I was talking to them in ways that was like, okay, like, yeah, it wasn't connecting. And then when I let go of, I'm going to tell you how it is, I'm going to lay it out for you, I'm going to prove to you something, and I just started doing it and living it and letting it happen, there's a very different reaction and willingness to join or willingness to ask, right? There's a saying probably from Pinterest, but I see this a lot, that at first they'll ask you, why are you doing that? And you'll have to try to explain it. And then once you kind of let that go, people ask you, how did you do that? Like, how are you all of a sudden on the beach? Mom, I've been telling you about this for 2 years. See, so I think that's really important to embody more. Show, don't tell.
Yeah. And your program is called, you know, the Dream Life Coaching Programs. You've got a few of those. Can you talk to me about how you create, you know, actionable business models that deliver you know, personal fulfillment and financial results. You know, imagine I'm a student. I'm one of your clients. What are things that I need to work on in order to make sure that your program works for me?
Yeah. So I can give all sorts of business strategy and whatever, but it comes down to your mission set. And I remember when I started out, and a lot of my clients when they first start out kind of roll their eyes. And it's like, yeah, I've heard that, but I came to you to like build my business. But again, this we talked about, it comes back to relationships. It comes back to your mission. Like, what do you want to be remembered for? How do you want to interact with the world? What does your dream life look like? And who are you helping in that dream life is so fundamental. Because like I said, we can talk about how to enroll your dream clients or how to raise your prices. But at the end of the day, if it's not that's going to inspire you all day, every day, it won't be a sustainable business model, no matter if it works for Sally and Billy and everyone else. So I always start with that. And obviously something you're passionate about, like finding your mission, using your difference to make a difference.
Yeah.
Right?
And
then, yeah, layering on that, the mindset work, which is constant. I don't care how many books you've read or how much you meditate. Like if you aren't every day practicing belief, again, it's hard to build a really successful business. So I have to say those two things. Yeah. And that's where, you know, of course, my clients come in with a pretty solid mission and pretty solid mindset, a strong relationship with money. And something that I notice with clients that succeed more quickly is that they see money for the energy that it is. It's not a lifeline. It's not a bad thing. It's not scarce, but rather money is something that we use as energy. It comes and it goes, and fighting that sort of desperation that a lot of the clients I work with have coming from a service background. So teachers, a lot of yoga instructors, or just people that have that mindset that I had as a young person, and that you serve and that you don't have to be paid very well. Do you understand that sort of mindset that a lot of folks might have?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, interesting hearing you say that. Obviously, mission, define what your mission is. What do you want your legacy to be? You start with that end of mind, and then practice the belief, like you said. You know, now that you've defined that, now that you know who you want to serve, how are you going to show up? I think with a lot of people, I don't know, maybe you will agree or disagree with this, is a lot of people, you know, you have an idea sometimes of what you want to do, but as you grow older, you sort of suppress that because I guess you get quote unquote realistic. And then it's in your head, but you don't actually practice it. Sometimes when I ask people what their mission is and what they want to do, the next question I follow that up with is what are you doing about that? And that was this is not to say that there aren't any, you know, legitimate reasons or any of that, but there's always a reason why they're not doing that. And so I love the aspect you have about practicing that belief, because doing is the best way to experience any sort of thing.
So let me.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me give everyone a tangible thing that you can do every single day for 5 minutes a day that will accelerate your journey to your dream life. So I mentioned sort of elusively this writing down. What would it be like to live a day in your dreams? So you wake up at what time? Like I literally have clients who have the agenda, like 6 a.m., still sleeping, 7 a.m., I wake up to, you know, fresh green smoothie. I don't know, like we all have our different things, but literally writing out hour by hour or phase by phase of your day, what is it like, and then practice living it every single day. So visualization is a really powerful tool that I give all of my clients. I encourage everyone to do, and I do myself, which you look at that dream day, or you envision that dream accomplishment, and then you close your eyes and you go there and you feel the feelings and you like smell the salty ocean air and you hear the birds and your stomach is calm, right? Like you literally practice what that's going to be like. And that is such a powerful somatic experience that actually rewires your brain. It creates cognitive dissonance, which is good in this case, because then your real brain goes to work. Okay, so your dream brain is in having this experience, your real brain is like, whoa, whoa, well, that's not real. How do I get there? How do I resolve this conflict? And amazing things start happening when you do this. You get those light bulb moments in the shower. And that person who said no to you before comes back and wants to be your client. And it's amazing how that energy, like we talked about with relationships, comes back to you and makes your dream life, your life scientifically. So that's one thing people can be doing to kind of start their journey or accelerate it.
That's solid. You know, it's learning mindfulness, you know, practicing how to visualize your future and then living that. It's amazing because, you know, there's something to be said about seeing something so you can achieve it. Sometimes some people are not able to achieve something they can't see. And so if you're already practicing that once you wake up, like 6 a.m., 7 a.m., I'm doing this, noon, I'm doing this, doing that. It's going to happen. You did it with your life. You said you envisioned this, you sitting on the beach working. And I started the interview talking about the Brazil-Mexico match. And you said, I was on the beach watching this, which is something you'd
say. Sand in my toes. You know how many times I've envisioned sand between my toes?
There you go.
Yeah. And then the thing to remember is that this will work. This does happen. And so always being ready to dream a little bit bigger and shift those visualizations. And so, you know, toes are in the sand now, but next I'm on a TED stage and I'm, you know, feeling the butterflies before I walk out. I know. And then after that, it will be something else. Yeah. So 5 minutes a day, folks. Try it out.
No, I love it. So someone now is already inspired. You're like, I want my dream life to be my real life. How can they get in contact with you? How can they sign up for your program?
Yeah. So folks, I would love to, listeners that are still on here listening and interested in what their personal game plan might be to get to that dream life, I would love to offer them a one-on-one strategy, you know, free consultation with me or someone from my team. So they can learn more at dreamlifeisreallife.com and then /connect is where they can reserve their time to talk to us more in depth.
Nice. I will definitely make sure I put that in the show notes. But I can't let you go without asking you this very important question, Hannah, and that is, how do you use your difference to make a difference?
Yeah, As I mentioned, I grew up feeling a little bit different. And I think the main difference is that I was naive and willing to believe. So folks in my personal life will tell you I'm pretty naive. I have a lot of questions about things that, you know, happen in the world. I didn't ride public transportation until I was also 20. But my naivete allowed me to just try things. You know, I didn't know that 90% of businesses fail in their first year. I decided, well, this is something I'm willing to try. And then also believing that there was more outside of the box and that it would always be there. But I wanted to, test things out. And so now that naivete has led me to something that was beyond my initial dreams and being able to kind of hand people that naivete and that this is going to work. Like, I'm on the proof, right, that believing in yourself and taking steps out of your comfort zone and deciding that you want your dream life to be your real life is okay. And kind of handing people that permission that I never really knew was like, I didn't know I needed permission. I just kind of tried things and I quit my job, but not everyone's there. So now I feel like I can hand that to others and say, let's do this. It's possible.
Wow. Yeah. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Hannah Hermanson talking about how your dream life can be your real life and how you don't need permission from someone else unless you decide to give it to them. Welcome. That's been amazing. I want to thank you for spending time with me here. I know it's, you know, it's a busy time, and I'm sure you said, you've got a lot of clients to tend to, but I really appreciate you sharing knowledge and look forward to having this episode come out.
This is great. I appreciate you and you using your difference to make such a difference in all these ears that we're currently in.
Yes. So
thank you, Kyle.
Thank you. Pleasure's mine. Ladies and gentlemen, till next time, use a difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.